We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we're so thankful to get to spend the next half hour with you right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. You might be driving to work. You might be getting ready for your day. You might be around the house and or at work already. However you are or whatever you are doing, we want to thank you for investing in your spiritual life, and we pray that this program will be a blessing to you, and it will encourage you to embrace the will of God. We're coming up on our fifth anniversary. We'll be celebrating that on Monday. I'm going to tie a message in on that day. I'm going to tie that in with a passage concerning the will of God, and we look forward to that. I'm here to be a refreshing word of truth here on the radio. As you know, I'm just here to try and be a blessing as best I can. The Bible talks about he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And I remember when I first started doing the radio broadcast that I wasn't doing pre-canned studies or anything like that. I'm still not. I actually learned things as I was preparing them for the radio. You know, I would pray, God, what do you want me to do? And then I would tear into the study and found some things that no one had ever shared with me before concerning the Word of God and the God of His Word. And so this has been a great program for me, and hopefully it has been a blessing to you. And if you'd like to share one of those insights, I encourage you to give us a call at 321-454-4263 or email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com, all one word, merrittassembly@hotmail.com. And those really are encouraging. When we get feedback from people, we don't just take that lightly. This is a ministry of faith by Merritt Assembly of God, and we mention a few of the sponsors here. We don't really have that many listeners who contribute to the radio program, but we do have a few, and Paul is one that I can think of, and John is another one. So we are grateful for what God has done in this program, but believe me, this has been edifying for me as well as I hope it's been edifying to you. So we want to thank you for making this program a reality for 5 years. And thank you to the saints at Merritt Assembly of God who believe in this message and believe in the ministry enough to underwrite it financially on a month-by-month basis. So with that being said, we are studying the will of God. Every person that is listening to the sound of my voice, and every family member you have, every coworker, every single individual on planet Earth was created by God with a divine purpose in mind. He created you not just so that your parents could dote on you. He created you with a purpose from before the foundation of the world. And the best thing that you could do for your family, the best thing that you could do for yourself, the best thing that you could do for this community or your church is to embrace the will of God and run with it. So today we're still transitioning some from those people who have rejected the will of God, and we don't want to be that person. And we're going to journey towards what does it look like to embrace and run with the will of God. So that's where we're headed. Today I want to take you to Luke, the 12th chapter, Luke, the 12th chapter, I believe, is where it is. There it is. Couldn't find it on my notes there. We're looking all over the place for it. Verse number 42. And here Jesus says, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. So we're going to talk a little bit today about the will of God when it comes to ministry. Here it is very clearly stated that God is looking for servants who will take care of his other servants. Everybody has an assignment from God. Everybody has a ministry. The body of Christ is not a consumer-driven entity. It is a service industry. It is about ministry. That's what the word minister means, is to serve. And God makes it clear that he is not looking to put a cap on people's competence. He is looking to set them up to succeed. That is one of the biggest things that I believe, is that the devil will set you up for failure, but God wants to set you up to succeed. And the important thing is that you and I be faithful in the little things, because faithfulness at that level will cause us to be promoted to where we are faithful over more. The world has a philosophy, and that is that you get promoted to the level of your incompetence. That's why you find people who do one thing well, but then if you try and elevate them, you find that they're incompetent at that. Well, you and I have this amazing potential, and that is we have the potential to grow. We have the potential to develop. And so God here is talking about, he is looking for people who are willing to faithfully administer his will as the king of the kingdom in making sure that his servants are taken care of. Today, if you are in ministry, I want you to understand that God does not want you burnt out. God is not looking for you to, you know, limp across the finish line. He always leads his people in triumphal procession. He is looking for people who will take care of his servants, and the reality is he will take care of us. And I truly believe that. I believe that if God is going to be able to take care of all of humanity that has been saved for all of eternity, that he is certainly capable of taking care of us as individuals in this little microcosm of eternity called time. Time has a beginning and time has an end. Eternity spans both directions. So God is able to take care of you. So he calls in this servant and he elevates him as a ruler over his household. He says he will make him ruler over his household. It is God's intent that you and I be the leaders, not the followers, the head, not the tail. He wants us to prosper and be wise, not to be abased and be the tail. He's not looking for us to not be people of influence. We are carrying the greatest message that humanity has ever heard, and that is that Jesus saved, Jesus died, Jesus raised again to life, Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, Jesus interceding on behalf of the saints, Jesus preparing a place for us to be with him forever, and Jesus coming again to rule and reign and to take his bride to be with him forever. What a fabulous message. So we get elevated embracing the will of God. We do. And there's a temptation that once we get elevated, that we want to be able to successfully deal with this temptation. It says, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. The reality that is discussed in this passage is that there's a day of accountability. There is a day of reckoning that is coming where we have to give an account for our service. Will our works be burned up with fire, or will they come forth shining as pure gold? There's a day of accountability that is coming. It is that. It's different than the Great White Throne Judgment, where you are judged by whether or not you have a relationship with Jesus. This is an accountability where it is, how have you responded to the will of God? And God wants our works, our efforts, to come forth shining as pure gold. Here in this particular passage, it describes a servant who fails to realize that the master who positioned him in authority is coming back one day to have him given an accounting. And so he fails to realize that the master who left is the master who is going to come again. And this particular servant sets aside the will of the king of the kingdom and begins to pursue his own will. It says, the master says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming. And he begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk. There is a terrible temptation when we reach that place of comfort or adequacy that we begin to set aside the will of God and think it is no longer important. And we begin to usurp his will and replace it with ours. I remember when I first came to Merit Assembly of God, there was a precious saint, and he made this statement to me. He said, it's very easy to stay in power as a dictator. All you have to do is kill the people. And what he was saying is, If a person in power gets so drunk on that authority that they forget that the reason that they are in that position in America, we call that public service. Let me translate for you, that they are there to serve the public. But now in modern times, we have people in public office and they think that the public is there to serve them. They've flipped it all around. That's not going to go well on the day of accountability. It is this day of reckoning, this day of accountability, that causes me to make sure Merit Assembly of God is a faithful steward in God's finances. I will tell you that I am much more concerned about standing before God as a faithful steward than I am about having to stand before the congregation. We don't have a miscellaneous fund. Every penny that comes in, every penny that goes out is properly accounted for. It's been that way for nearly 26 years and probably longer than that before me. But I can tell you this, when my wife and I first came to the church and I was working and she was a stay-at-home mom at that point in time and was taking care of the day-to-day operations of the church when we had, you know, anywhere from 10 to 20 people, we didn't even have a computer. We were having to do all of the bookkeeping by hand, and that got to be pretty challenging at the end of the year. And so every month when the accounting was done and every penny was properly accounted for, we had a celebration. It was like, yes, because we knew that we were going to have to give an account to God. So I'm much more concerned about God, who knows all things, knows the thoughts and intents of my heart. And this servant here failed to realize that with God as king, he knows everything that is going on, even when he is not physically present in the room in a visible manner. So this person replaced or supplanted God's will with his own will and became self-indulgent instead of serving those that he was entrusted to serve. He literally changed his job description. So it says, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Don't abuse the body of Christ. I will tell you this. I get very nervous when there are entire ministry focuses that are attacking the body of Christ. The reason that I say that is I know how I feel if anybody begins to attack my wife, whether it's verbally, physically, with sickness or disease or affliction. It doesn't sit well with me, and I don't believe that God is standing up there idly by watching as his bride is assaulted. I know I wouldn't do that. That's not only the way I feel about my wife. I'm not going to stand idly by and watch while anybody assaults another lady. I almost got beat up one time coming home from a men's conference because there was a drunk man and he was throwing beer bottles at the lady who was with him in this homeless caravan. And I yelled out my car window, "Hey, stop doing that." Well, the good news was he stopped attacking her and he started focusing his attention on me. Fortunately, my window held up and my door was already locked. Because what I have found in the past is that from relatives that I've had is that drunk people don't feel a whole lot of pain. So it wasn't going to go well. And I had some men in the vehicle in front of me, and they were about two or three vehicles in front of me. They said, "We were watching. We had you covered. But I just wasn't going to sit in the car and watch somebody be assaulted." God is fully aware and fully cognizant. So I want to maintain a ministry of mercy. Mercy is my primary gifting, but I also have this ministry of exhortation. If people get addicted to the ministry of mercy, and then all of a sudden I come in with a word of exhortation, they want to know what has gone on here, what has happened. But I remember a man several years ago that told me this. He said, sometimes the most merciful thing that you can do for a person is to move mercy to the side so that exhortation can come in and have his work. So God is very much concerned about his bride. He's very much concerned about his servants, and he's not going to stand by and let them be abused. Okay? And it says, and that servant who, this is the end result. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. Today, you and I need to know the master's will, and we need to prepare ourselves to do his will. Before I came into the radio studio, I was in preparation mode. I was in study. I had things laid out. I went in and I prayed. I make sure that there's not going to be any complications as far as I can prepare that are going to sidetrack me during this broadcast. So I make sure that I've had a drink of water. I made sure that I've got a pen here in case a thought comes to me that I didn't have written down so that I can write that down. I had my Bible open to the passage, believe it or not, before I even started the broadcast. I was just looking for the reference on my notes. There's preparation that needs to be done. And probably the greatest lesson that I ever had on preparation, when I was in high school, I was interviewing in, I believe it was November, for a scholarship. And the the person who was interviewing for the scholarship asked me what I wanted to do after high school. And I said, well, I was wanting to become a pastor. And they said this, what are you doing now to prepare you for the ministry? And I was left speechless because I wasn't doing any preparation. I was kind of like most teenagers were, and that is I wasn't really applying myself diligently to the task. I knew the direction I was going, but I just figured that there would always be a time to start later. So that word of instruction that I should be preparing now for what I would be doing, in the future, that was like a light bulb that went off. So I went home and I filled out an application to college and I was accepted. I went home and I filled out an application to go on a missions trip and I was accepted. I went home and told my pastor, or went to church and the pastor was looking for Sunday school teachers and I volunteered to teach fourth, fifth, and sixth grade boys. And I said, you know what? I'm going to prepare. So everything involves some preparation. So we need to prepare not only the things around us, we need to prepare ourselves to do God's will. Okay? When people are getting ready to go into missions, they prepare themselves financially. They prepare themselves as far as what they can take on and off the field. Back in the early days of Pentecost, when missionaries went to the field, they did not pack their items in a suitcase. They just assumed that they were going to be on the field for the rest of their life. And so they would pack their belongings in a coffin and they would use the coffin to ship their goods overseas. That way the coffin would already be there when it was time for them to come home. They were prepared. They were prepared to live for Jesus. They were prepared to die for Jesus. And so this person says, did not prepare himself or do according to his will. And there is a consequence. There is discipline. There is suffering that is involved when we reject the will of God. We want less disobedience to the will of God and more obedience to the will of God. We want less of our will and we want more of God's will. So it says in verse number 48, but he who did not know yet committed things deserving a stripe shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Now, Let me just deal with another side effect of this, and that is many times people say, well, I don't want to be held accountable for much, so I am willfully going to stay ignorant about what God wants. I'm going to stay ignorant of his word, and I want you to know that's not the will of God. God is not wanting for us to stay uninformed. He is not looking for us to, stay ignorant. If I can put it that way, he is looking for us to walk in victory. He is looking for us to have a relationship with him. The Bible says that God doesn't do anything without first revealing it to the prophets. He told the disciples, he said, these things I have told you, you're not just my servants, you're my friends. And so where many people say, well, I don't want to be accountable for much, so I'm just going to stay safe. I'm going to stay down here at the kindergarten level. I will tell you this. At that level, you are missing the privilege of God's will in your life. You are missing blessings that God intended for you to walk in. There is a study that said most Christians will never share their faith with anyone other than an immediate family member in their entire life. I don't believe that that's the will of God. I believe that God wants us walking in victory and in influence, not just in our family, but in our community. There are far too many people in this world who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I don't believe that that's God's will, because he said he doesn't want any to perish, but for all to come to everlasting life. He wants all to repent. So he wants people to hear. And there's only one plan, and that is for the saints of God to take the gospel message. I believe that God has a task for you and I to do that is going to bring glory and honor to God. I had a professor in Bible college. Her and her husband had pastored churches, and she was a very effective teacher. And then she would go and she would preach in this one particular state. It was her home state. And when she would go, she would present ministry in such a manner that the young people were hearing from God the Holy Spirit, and they were responding to the call of becoming full-time missionaries. And a lot of missionaries came out of that district. And she said, and so one day I got a phone call from the district superintendent, and the district superintendent was saying this: parents were calling and complaining to the district about their kids being called into the ministry, and they didn't want her to preach in their churches anymore. And folks, can I tell you, responding to God's invitation to be in the ministry has never been a negative for me. Has it had some unpleasant trees along with it? Oh yeah, there has been some growing experiences in there. There have been some situations where I didn't make as much money responding to the call of God. In fact, almost every transition that God initiated had a financial setback, but it wasn't devastating. It was like shifting the gear in a transmission. It was setting me up to go forward, not setting me up to go backward. And so I will tell you this. If you try and cling to something and you choose to cling to that instead of embracing the will of God, it is not going to have the desired result that you want. The greatest thing that I want for my kids, my grandkids, is for them to embrace the will of God and to run with it. Even if that's contrary to my will, I know this: in the long run, God is going to be glorified, the kingdom is going to grow, and they're going to be a blessing. They'll be a greater blessing to me walking in obedience to the will of God than walking in disobedience to the will of God. I encourage you today, don't set aside God's will. Don't begin to mistreat other believers. Embrace the will of God and treat others the way that you want to be treated. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
And the time, 8:59 and a half. You're listening to 91.5 FM. This is WMIE. And I have a quick update. I want to thank Warren, my good friend Warren and Paula from Merritt Island. And they've pledged $100. But Warren didn't have to show up here at our door with a $100 bill. He said, "You know, I'd like to spread this out." So Warren's given a $25 a month for 4 months. Sometimes you could do it $17 a month for 6 months. Whatever it is that you can do to help us raise up the remaining balance.